We're so glad to have you listening today. We appreciate your joining us. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 11 today, and we'll be reading Luke chapter 11, verses 34 through 36. The Bible says here that Jesus taught, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." Now, what we have here, of course, is an illustration, one of many different illustrations that Jesus gave in his teaching. And it's the illustration of a house with a window. Now, if you can just picture a house, a small house, and let's just say for the purpose of illustration, that we're talking about a house that has one room and only one window. Now, if that window is clear, if it's unobstructed, then you're going to have light in that house. Now, we're talking about the light of the sun here. So, if the window is open, if the window is clear, then you're going to be able to see inside of that house. But if that window is covered, if that window is closed, then you're only going to have some light, and if it's blocked off altogether, then you're not going to have any light. Now, Jesus said that the eye lets light into the body. Now, obviously here, he's not talking about physical daylight. He's not even talking about the physical body. He's using that as an illustration. You see, the body here represents your soul and your whole life. How you think, what you say, and how you behave. You say, well, what does the eye represent? Well, that's the main part of this lesson that we're going to be looking at today. The eye represents how you see, how you look at the world. Not with your physical eyes now, but how you perceive things, how you see with your mind. And Jesus talks about two different windows, two different kinds of eyes, which represent two different ways of looking at life. He says you can have a single eye. Now that means a good eye, an honest eye, having a pure heart. That means a person that is honest about what he sees and why he sees it. This person has a good and honest heart toward the things of this life. He doesn't have ulterior motives. But an evil eye represents a person who has selfish motives. He looks at the world as something just for him. And so his motivation is entirely different, and that colors everything that he sees and everything that he does. So you might think of it in terms of glasses. You can either have clear glasses that you see through and you see things the way that they really are, or you can have colored glasses and you can look at the world in a way that's biased. You can look at the world in a way that is prejudiced and dishonest. Now in verse 35, Jesus said that we need to be careful about this. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. The light here representing again how you look at the world. Watch your heart. Be careful about your attitude. Do a regular checkup on your motive. Ask yourself, why did I say that? Why am I doing this? Now, folks, it's easy to let this get away from you, and the Bible tells us many times that we need to guard our hearts and we need to be honest with what we see in the mirror when we look in the Bible. And when we do a close inspection of our hearts. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, the Bible says to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's where it all comes from. You see, when we do the wrong thing, when we say the wrong thing, when we fail to do what's right, it's because of what is in our heart. And so if we're going to fix the problem, we're going to have to deal with the inside. So Jesus said, the situation that you want is one where, he says in verse 36, where your whole body is full of light, it has no part that is dark, and the whole shall be full of light. Now, how does all this apply to us today? This is where the bottom line is. What does this mean for you and I right now? We've talked about it in its biblical context, but what does this mean in your everyday life? Well, first of all, this applies to how we look at money and how we look at things. Back in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, you have an excellent commentary on this. Now listen very carefully, because Jesus uses this same figure here. He uses the same illustration to talk about how we look at money. Do we look at money in a good way, or do we look at money in a bad way? Well, you see, Jesus talks about that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Now listen to verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In other words, whatever you've got your mind on is where your heart is going to be. If we have our mind set on the things of this world, then that's where our heart, that is where our affections are going to be. If we have our goal and our sight set on heaven, then that's where our heart is going to be. So Jesus illustrates that beginning in verse 22 like this. He says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness." Now take that in context, folks. Look at that in the setting in which Jesus gives it. He's just talked about our attitude toward the things of this life. And he says, instead of laying up treasures on earth, you need to lay up treasures in heaven. If a man is honest about money, then he's usually going to be honest about other things. If the light that is in him is truly good, if he's looking at money in the right way and he's honest about it, he'll usually be honest about other things. If a man looks at money the way that he should, he's not going to steal. If a man looks at money with the attitude that God wants him to have, he's not going to lie about it or lie for it. If a man has the right attitude toward money, then he's not going to let money become his God. Now, on the other hand, a man that looks at money in the wrong way is going to be affected by that outlook in every area of his life. Now, there's a famous passage of Scripture that is oftentimes misquoted in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, and it talks about our attitude toward money. Now, listen very carefully to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. Paul said, "But they that will be rich..." In other words, those that want to be rich, those that desire to be rich. What are you saying about them, Paul? What are you telling us about people whose main goal in life is to have money? He says this is going to happen to them. "They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil." All kinds of evil is what that verse means. "Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now, did you notice the progression here that he talks about? He says when a man loves money and his ultimate goal in life is to have money, if that's what is most important to him, he is going to be tempted in ways in which he would not be if he didn't have that kind of desire. He is going to have troubles in his life that he otherwise would not have. And what has brought all that on? Well, it's the way that he looks at money. You see, when a man makes money his God, then he's going to do anything for it, and he's going to adjust his whole life in order to try to get it or in order to have it. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 5, that a covetous man, a greedy man, is an idolater. His money is his God. His money is his idol. And the sad thing is that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible shows that a man doesn't necessarily have to have money. He doesn't have to be rich in order to fall into this trap. He just has to have the desire in his heart to have it. In other words, if he has a greedy, hungry heart for money and things, then he's going to get himself into trouble. So the light that is in him, the window that he's looking out of, the way that he looks at the world is going to affect the rest of his life. Number two, how we look at other people is an example of what Jesus is talking about here. Now, like Jesus said, we can either have a single eye or we can have an evil eye toward other people. If we have a single eye in the way that we look at other people, well, then we're not going to harm them. We're going to love other people like we love ourselves. We're going to help other people. We're going to respect other people. And we're going to make sure that we speak to other people because we have that love and respect for our fellow human beings. But on the other hand, if we look at people with an evil eye, that means that we're looking at people in a bad way. We're looking at people to use them. We're looking at people to take advantage of them. We're looking at life and we're looking at other people in order to run over them and perhaps get what they want. Well, if we have that kind of attitude, folks, that evil eye will affect our whole life. It will affect almost every decision that you make. You see, you can't just take this window, you can't just take this eye that he's talking about and say that it only affects a little bit of your life. It's like a house that only has this one window. If that window is clear, then you're going to have light in that house. But if that window is closed, or if that window is covered, then you're not going to have any light in the house. There's just no way to overestimate or to overstate the importance of what Jesus is talking about here. Let me give you another example. This would apply also to how we look at the Bible. Now, we can have a single eye, which means that we have a good and an honest heart. If we look at the Bible the way that we should, with honesty and with goodness in our hearts, then when we interpret the Bible, we're not going to try to twist it. We're going to take it for what it says. We're going to be like the people of Berea. The Bible says that they were noble people, and they received the word with all readiness of mind. And not only will we receive the word, but we're going to respond to it. We're going to obey it. Like the people on Pentecost Day, when they heard Peter say, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins," in Acts 2:38, the Bible says in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." Now, on the other hand, if a man has an evil eye toward the Bible, then he's going to twist it. He's going to try to make it say things that it does not say. He's going to take verses out of context because he's trying to justify himself. He's trying to justify his life. And as a result, his evil eye toward the Bible causes him to misapply, to misinterpret the Word of God. And not only that, it causes him to reject it if it doesn't suit what he thinks or the way that he's living. How is your eye this morning? Let's look at ourselves and let's be honest with what we see. And God help us to change where we need to change. God help us to keep doing what is right. And God help us to be humble and wise enough to know the difference. Thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.